Well, good morning. It is good to be with you today, and quite frankly, it is, you know, it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere in this this day and strange time we live in. Yesterday, our daughter shared with me, she goes, Mom, a year ago, did any of us even imagine we would be in the midst of a pandemic? But this is the time, this is the day that we live in. Somebody has said, you know, I never thought the comment, I wouldn't touch him or her with a 6-foot pole, would actually become our national policy, but hey, here we are. Someone else has said, of all the things I learned in grade school, avoiding cooties was the last thing I actually expected to use. But here we are. There's this warning out that if you actually risk it and get on an airplane during this pandemic, and if you hear the captain come over the loudspeaker and say to you, hey, I am working from home today, you'd better hightail it off that plane. I mean, this is the strange time that we are living in. With all that has been going on, with the surge in COVID cases, with the new strain of COVID discovered recently, I have heard people say, and maybe you have too, that Christmas would be canceled this year. And I certainly understand what they meant, the traditions that we, and the family gatherings. But Christmas cannot be canceled because Christmas has happened. Christmas is a lot more than just meeting and presents. As the infamous Grinch discovered about Christmas, that it comes without ribbons, it comes without tags, it comes without packages, boxes, or bags. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? See, Christmas took place over 2,000 years ago when God himself entered into our world. God himself moved right into our situation, our circumstances, our sin, our shame. He moved in, as someone said, to our neighborhood. Emmanuel, God with us. And his name was to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This was a reality that happened, a fulfillment of hundreds of years, of hundreds of promises made hundreds of years before it was ever fulfilled in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, our Lord. Christmas cannot be canceled. The great and precious promises and truths of Christmas cannot be canceled because Jesus Christ arrived into our lives, into our world, just as the scriptures foretold. And in the 3 verses in the Gospel of Luke that we are going to look at today, we meet a woman, a little known woman, who had waited a long time for these prophecies to be fulfilled. And she saw it with her own eyes, that they were fulfilled in the Messiah, the Lord, the Redeemer, just as the scriptures had said. So this morning we are going to meet Anna. Anna the prophetess, this little known woman who had the honor of seeing the Messiah. Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus, their firstborn, to the temple to dedicate him and to offer a sacrifice of purification. And preceding the verses we are going to read, they bring him into the temple, and Simeon the priest is there holding Jesus and dedicating him. And see, Simeon had been given a promise when the Holy Spirit had come to him and said, you will not shut your eyes in death until your eyes see the Messiah. And Anna, of course, would have known that great and precious promise. And that precedes, this dedication of Jesus at the temple precedes what we're about to read. And Anna walks in, and it says this, there also was a prophet, a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ. God, thank you that you have moved into our lives. And God, as we Spend a few moments in your holy word. We pray that it would come alive, that our hearts would be moved to worship you, to make our lives count for the kingdom, that we would stand and live faithfully on the holy, true promises of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed be your holy name, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. First of all, we see that Anna is a prophetess. This is shorthand for one who hears from God, one who presses in to speak to the living God, to hear God speak to her, and then to share it. And what's interesting is that God holds up a woman in this position, that she is a prophetess, one who knows God, one that God speaks to, one that loves the heart of God and shares it with others. So a woman in a world where women were considered property. And she was a widow, the scripture says, and childless. I mean, that was not a position most people would want to find themselves in Jesus' day. People would look down upon you. People wouldn't invite you into their social circles. Being without a husband and being without children, her only means of support would be looking for charity. And she was old. The scripture is clear. She was old. She was somewhere between 84 and 104. See, the scripture is not clear when it says that she is 84. The translation could actually mean she's 84 years old, or it had been 84 years since her husband passed away, which would make her about 104. She had lived a long time. She was old in a world that sometimes, as we find, throws away the aged. But God doesn't. There's a story maybe you've heard about two couples that often played cards together. And one night they'd been playing cards, and then the women went out of the room and the two husbands were sitting there. And one of the friends said, "Hey, Joe, you played a great game tonight. I usually have to remind you what cards have been played, but tonight I didn't have to." And Joe said, "Yeah. It's the most wonderful thing. I took this memory course, and now I am doing so well remembering." And his friend said to him, "Well, what's the name of this course? I want to take it too." And Joe thought for a while, and he's thinking, "I can't remember." And then he goes, well, what is that flower? You know, it's red, and it's got thorns." And his friend said, "A rose?" And Joe goes, yeah, a rose. "Hey, Rose, what is that memory course I took?" You know, thank you for the one person who's in this empty sanctuary. Thank you. You know, we sometimes look down on the aged, but we see Scripture does not. And then we see that she is fully devoted to God, that she did not waste her life, but she was fully devoted to God. She lived in hope, trusting in this God, pressing in the Scripture and prayer, fasting and service. I mean, she was a woman that would have known the Scriptures. She is a woman who would have known from the tribe she came from was most likely a devoted, devout tribe. She would have known the stories of how God's people had been enslaved in Egypt, but God in his mercy and grace had delivered them. And then they had come up against the Red Sea, in between a rock and a hard place. Red Sea here, Pharaoh and his army coming after them. And God delivered them. And throughout Scripture, all the ways that God had met his people faithfully. See, she would have fed her soul on this as she waited for the promised Messiah. So two lessons I want to look at briefly today. One, lessons we can learn from the life of Anna. Number one, as followers of God, we can have hope in the midst of waiting. Anna shows us hope in the midst of waiting. It's important to realize that Anna's waiting happened in tough, long circumstances. A woman in a man's world, childless, widowed, impoverished. Waiting is hard at any time, but especially hard when we are going through tough circumstances. Somebody has said we're either in the midst of tough circumstances, we're on our way out of tough circumstances, or unbeknownst to us, we are on our way into tough circumstances. And she is waiting during tough circumstances. You know, sometimes we romanticize this first Christmas. You know, we put this little nativity up on the mantle, and you know, we have some soft, maybe LED lighting down, a little music, you know, cattle are mooing in the background, a little drummer boy, which I read something yesterday I thought was funny. It says, that's exactly what a new mother wants when she has just gotten her baby to sleep. A little boy coming to her and asking if he can play his drums for her. No. It was tough. There was so much, you know, here this peasant Galilean couple had just made this arduous journey to Bethlehem, some 100 miles. You know, no room for them to the hard times. And then add to it, you had Herod, the temporary king, King Herod, who was evil and sought to destroy the children. He sought to destroy the King of Kings, the eternal king, this promised Messiah. And so he went after all the children to have them killed. And the cry of the mothers went up. Not an easy time. But Anna waited in hope, not because it was easy, not because her waiting was short, because she trusted in the living God. But you know, we are people who find it hard to wait. We find it hard to wait, you know, 5 minutes to, you know, get the grocery store, let alone waiting through trials and struggle for the fulfillment of God's promises to take place. There was some years ago an article in the New York Times about a story. It was a story of a problem that the executives were having at the Houston International Airport. They were receiving a cascade of complaints about the long wait at the baggage carousel. People were angry at what they considered too long of a wait. So what the executives decided to do is they hired more baggage handlers, and they were able to get the luggage from the plane to the carousel to an unprecedented industry-beating average of only 8 minutes. But it blew them away because the complaints persisted. It made no sense to them until they discovered that on average, the passengers took about 1 minute to go from the gate to the baggage carousel. And then they stood there for 7 minutes waiting for this promised luggage to come. And they became angry and impatient and wrote complaining letters. The walk was not the wait, it was not the problem, but the 7 minutes of waiting. So in a burst of innovation, what they did is they moved the gate further away from the carousel. So by the time people walked the 8 minutes to the carousel, their luggage was there. See, because we like to be busy, we don't like to just wait and stare. We feel like we're doing something, we're moving. That's our human nature. Passengers had to walk much further, but their bags were there, because sometimes what they were doing was that hurry up and wait, and we don't like that, do we, when we're called to wait on the Lord. The time to get the luggage to the baggage area had not changed, but people felt something was happening, that somehow they had control of moving forward. And one of the reasons I think that we struggle with waiting on God, unanswered prayers, whatever you're waiting for, I think one of the reasons we struggle so much is because we sometimes think in the long, quiet wait that God is not doing anything, that his silence during that time means that he has forgotten us, that he's not going to answer. Somebody has said this: who you become while you are waiting is as important to God as what you are waiting for. And the reality is that when it is not God's time, there is nobody on this earth that can force it. And when it is God's time, there is nobody who can stop it. And that was the reality of that first incredible celebration of Christmas. When the Christ entered in, it was just God's perfect timing. And Anna was able to wait in hope, and you and I are able to wait in hope when we trust in the faithfulness of this God who has never yet been untrue to any one of the promises he has given to us in Scripture. That as we press in to the throne of God's grace, we can trust the precious promises. So how do we wait in hope? How do we actually do that in a practical way? We press into the King. The King of the universe came to us. Relationship. That we press in close to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we be consistently in his word, daily in his word, impressing, immersing our hearts with his truth, that we press into the throne of grace in daily prayer, committing his word in our hearts. And, you know, when I say this, this is not a legalistic thing. You know, you have to check off. I read this scripture, I prayed, I'm pressing into Jesus. No. But this feeds our soul. So when the tempter would come and say, God's forgotten you, God's not going to answer your prayer, God's not with you, we can stand on the truth of God's word. If God be for me, who or what can be against me? Amen. I wear this this bracelet that my dear friend gave to me. It says, I am with you always, Lo. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. And as we press in to God's holy word, as we immerse our hearts in the truth, we are able to battle the unbelief that so often sneaks in. You know, we are blessed here in Southern California to be surrounded by the San Gabriel Mountains. And, you know, when there's not a fire and there's not smog or something else going on here, they are a glorious sight to behold. And, you know, sometimes when I'm driving or I'm walking, I say Psalm 121, which somebody encouraged me to memorize years ago. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? It comes from the Lord, who is the maker of the heavens and the earth. When we are facing mountains that are just too hard, we remember that we worship a God who made the mountains, who is all-powerful, and who will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 18:1, I love you, O Lord, my strength, my rock, my redeemer. We wait in hope when we press in deeply, as Anna did, to the throne of grace. The second lesson is that Anna's waiting wasn't wasted. Our waiting doesn't have to be wasting. Now, wasted. There would be some that would think that her life was wasted. I mean, really, come on, Anna. You could have remarried. You could have had children. You could have built a business. She could have done something that the world would think was important and significant. But this woman, who is brought up in Scripture in a place of honor, means God's favor, God's grace. She is given three full verses in the Holy Bible, the very Word of God, again, held in high esteem, not because she was some big, important person in the world's eyes, not because she had a big portfolio, a great education, but because God was big and important to her, and she lived committed to him. And she walks into the temple after waiting years and praying, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, and she sees Simeon, and she sees Mary and Joseph, and she recognizes the Messiah, the King, the promised one, the Lord. It all happened just like it was said. But then we see in her life something else. She just doesn't say, great, let me just go sit with that. What she does, she goes out and she tells people. It says, coming up to them, this verse 38 in chapter 2, coming up to them, that Simeon, Mary and Joseph, and the Christ, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Some were looking forward to this Messiah coming and wiping out the Roman Empire. No. He came to wipe out sin in our lives and give us a relationship with him. The Redeemer had come, and she was really one of the first missionaries of the good news of Jesus Christ. When she saw the fulfillment of happen, she had happened, just as the scripture said, she could not contain it. But she went out and she shared it. The Redeemer has come. Our sins are forgiven. An old, childless, poor widow woman lived a life fully sold out for God, and when she saw the promised Messiah, she could not remain silent. Anna did not waste her life, and I want to challenge us as we stand in these few days before 2021 that we commit not to waste our life. We are still in this pandemic, again, only days before 2021, and by God's merciful grace, we're still here. But we need to ask ourselves, are we living and looking forward to what is temporary? Or are we making our life count for that which is eternal. The scripture says the only thing that will remain is God's word and God's people. Everything else will pass away. All the gifts we spend so much money on and time wrapping and yada, 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 all gone. And if we've lived our life only for that which is temporary, what will we show in the end? C.T. Studd said this, only one life and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. About a little over 2 years ago, I stepped down from First Presbyterian Church of Covina. Our family had been at that church serving for a long time. We love that fellowship. And when they said goodbye to me, they just were so generous and kind. And one of the things they did is they gave me a gift of an olive tree. They planted an olive tree on the campus of our church. And then they put a plaque up. And my husband and I came back to see it after it was planted and the plaque was up. And the plaque had my name, Andrea Messenger, and my title. And it had the years of service there, that it was 2002-2018. And I looked at this marker with the dates, and I turned to my husband and I said, oh my goodness, it looks like I'm buried here. But you know, it made me think we want our lives to count. And Linda Ellis wrote this poem called The Dash, and it's the idea of the date of our birth and death and that dash in between. We don't have control over so much, right? But we have control over whether or not we choose to honor God as Anna did. We choose to live our life not for what is temporary, but making it count for eternity. We have been given this very moment. We don't know what tomorrow or next year holds, but we know the one who holds it. And I challenge us in all of the resolutions we make to lose weight and eat better and clean out a drawer or two, get it organized, that we would commit ourselves to living fully devoted, sold out, passionate lives for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we would press in deeply to the throne of grace, immersing ourselves in the truth and then sharing it, that he is a redeemer not just for me, but for all who would hear and obey, making our lives count. Chadwick Boseman, the star of the Black Panther, who tragically passed away too soon, and yet nobody knew, and he continued to visit sick people in the hospital and serve. And he said this. He said, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. I used everything you gave me. In closing, I would like to introduce you to somebody who has blessed me and encouraged me in my own faith. Somebody I greatly admire. She is going through incredibly difficult circumstances, and she knows a thing or two about waiting. Christy Hong and her family are part of the fellowship here in Glenkirk, at Glenkirk and Glendora. She's married with five daughters between the ages of 17 and 7, an RN, nurse practitioner. A little over a year and a half ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer out of the blue. Living her life, diagnosed. It's been a hard, difficult journey with a lot of waiting. Waiting on the different diagnoses, waiting to hear what protocols, waiting to hear if the protocols worked, surgeries, chemotherapy, waiting for the doctors to call for surgery appointments or follow-ups, and at the present, she is going through treatment again. She sent this to me. She said, and she gave me permission to use this. She said, every step God has guided me. He has opened and closed doors throughout this journey. My family and I asked lots of people for prayer, family, friends, church. I had people in prison, China, Africa, South Korea, all over the U.S. praying for me and people here at Glenkirk. She goes, I have gone through depression, just always being so afraid and hopeless. I was so disappointed in God, and I told him so. But as I kept praying and reading his words, my feelings of anger, depression, hopelessness, fear turned into hopefulness, peace, and joy. She said, my relationship with God started when I got diagnosed with cancer, and I'm learning more about him and his goodness, his love, his forgiveness. I don't know when, but as I started studying and reading the Bible, his words came alive to me. I started to understand what it truly meant when Jesus suffered on the cross to give us eternal life, what it means to have joy. I still have doubts, she says, but I have learned that God's timing isn't my timing. When everything felt hopeless, God has performed a miracle. His ways and his thinking are higher than ours. His plans, which I may never understand, are perfect for me. Even when I think God is silent and not doing anything, he is silently working on my behalf. Sitting in God's waiting room is so hard, and I still complain and whine, but I keep praying, and I just put my trust and hope in him. If I keep fixing my eyes on Christ, I know I'll be okay. She didn't choose this. And yet in the midst of the really tough circumstances and the long waiting, she is trusting in the promised keeper who loves her, the redeemer that has saved her soul. And what I have found in my relationship with Christy is how she blesses me and encourages me to walk faithfully, not with complaining, but with thanksgiving. Christy isn't wasting her life. And I challenge each one of us today in this crazy pandemic time to remember that the Messiah, the Redeemer, has come, that we might live fully devoted, sold out, passionate lives for his kingdom, giving him the glory and not wasting our life. John Piper wrote these words, "But whatever you do, find the God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-saturated passion of your life and find your way to say it and to live for it and to die for it. And you will make a difference that lasts. And when you do this, you will not waste your life." Would you bow in a prayer, a word of prayer with me, please? God, forgive us for where we have wasted, where we have found our worth in things that are not of you, when we have lived for things that are not of you. God, as we are close to ending this year and beginning anew, may we recommit ourselves to living fully sold out lives for your glory, that we might press deeply into the throne of grace, God, that we might stand on the great and precious promises in your word, that we might trust you whatever we go through, and that, God, we would not be able to stay silent about you, our Redeemer, God, the hope of the world. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen.